I can see Bulls drooling right now. They got nobody.
Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He's Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer himself. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast, Ira. How are you?
How am I? I went to a Super Bowl party, and we left at halftime. This Chiefs fan was absolutely appalled at what the hell was going on. Hats off to the Eagles. And my first announcement to our listeners is a dandy one. I've got a kink. Now, take it easy, DeKemper. Don't give me that look. Yes, I have a kink, but it's a kink above my hip on my left side. And I hope this thing gets better in a couple of days because I don't want it dragging me down at Indianapolis. How do you like that, Steve?
What did you inhale before halftime, Ira?
I don't know what the hell happened. I must have stretched out or something or slept on the wrong side. I don't get kinks, and I'm not a kink. So we'll see what happens.
You're avoiding the food question. What'd you maul at this party?
Well, they had chili. Never touched it. We bought a Greek salad. You don't show up with nothing. A large Greek salad. Had some of that. Had a hot dog, of course. The potato salad, the coleslaw. It was okay, but we got the hell out of there at halftime, Steve. I said, I can't watch this anymore. Can't watch it.
You know, it's really synonymous with Super Bowl parties. It's Greek salad.
Greek salad. By the way, how many times on this podcast when you mentioned the Chiefs, how many times did I say in the last couple of months, their tackles suck, both of them, and they just came up against a team that exploited it without freaking blitzing, Lee? No blitzing.
You ever see that before?
They didn't have to. Well, I'm not sure how much blitzing Bulls did in the Super Bowl against Mahomes. Some.
Not much.
But it definitely reminded me of the Bucks-Chiefs game.
Exactly. Same thing.
All right, Sage. Well, look, sorry you didn't get the greatest meal. You didn't get the greatest result for your Chiefs.
Matter of fact, your wife came down the flu from that place, right?
Yeah, she did. You know, Steve, if you're going to get beat, you might as well get beat. Well, it should have been 40-6, Lee. Forget the final score. That was 40-6.
Yeah.
You might as well get trounced if you're going to lose.
Sage, don't worry. Drive Curry, Presidential Savings. President's Weekend is here. Presidential Savings all month. New Ford models up to $20,000 off MSRP. Those who listen to the Best in Class podcast with Sean Sullivan heard about some specific vehicles that are discounted. And you know what? Check that out. That's at JoeBucksFan.com, at Apple Podcasts, Best in Class. And Bill Curry, Ford, Ira, they are our friends. They support all your work at JoeBucksFan.com. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and they've got amazing lease offers this month. They've got their transparent pricing at all times. They've got the best service department and the biggest and the most mobile service-friendly dealership ever. They'll come out to your home, bring you a loaner, take your vehicle back. They got it all. BillCurryFord.com. Since 1960, Bill Curry Ford, the Curry family. They do so much in the community that continues.
You know, their renovation, which we were very familiar with, it was extensively, more importantly, it was very expensive. They didn't spare any expense. And then when the results were finally in, Lee, and it took a long time, it looks like it was all worth it. It's spectacular.
I think they spared a lot of expense, Ira. Where's the mural of the Sage? Where's Ira's mural? Not there.
Give him 6 months. It'll be up there.
Ira, you remind me I need to go there to get my oil changed and... And, Steve, am I correct? They work on all models. You don't have to have a Ford to go there and get your car serviced.
Absolutely not. I bought my Subaru there in 2019, and it's still running, although it's getting toward the end.
My timing's bad, Lee. My timing's bad.
Transmission?
No, I was looking ahead a couple of weeks ago to Valentine's Day. Which happens to be the 14th Friday. You know, trying to get into a nice restaurant, romantic. And it was very difficult. So all these places that I tried said you can eat at 4:30 or you can eat at 9:30. The middle is blocked off. Everything's blocked off.
A.M.?
All the prime spots.
9:30 a.m.?
So all the places you go are open at 9:30. The places I go open at 4 o'clock. So anyway, I said, to hell with it. We'll go the night before. So I picked out a nice restaurant, Steve, in Palm Harbor. Now my wife's sick. So I think I got to cancel. I just got an email from her. Yeah, you're going to keep your reservation. I think I got
to
cancel it.
To go.
You know, I'll get a couple of slices of pizza and bring it home. What the hell?
Is it the seafood place that you've been to before?
Mystic Fish, very good.
Well, if she can't go, I'll fill in, Ira.
You know, that's $1.30 before you get out of there, Lee. It's $1.30. Not these little Five Guys places that you go to, these nickel and dime places.
All right, look, the website is BillCurryFord.com, and they've got their own Love at First Drive specials for Valentine's Day as well.
There
so
you go.
Check them all out, BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, you know, beautiful weather now. Nobody's worried about anything, but you have to have that plan. Florida's Elite Restoration. When you have disaster at your property, you got to know who to call. And we'll talk more about them. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get to their website, put it in your bookmarks. in your favorites, so you're prepared when you have a flood, fire, mold, whatever it is. All right, Ira, free agency around the corner. I like that this season kind of ended a little late with the Super Bowl, and free agency is a little bit early this year. You know, it can range usually 9th to 15th or whatever, but we got it on the early side. Combine's coming up. It's like no off season this year. This is great.
You know, looking at the Bucks, Lee, and free agency, which sets the stage for the draft, because if you fill some spots in free agency, it absolutely affects your draft status. There's no mystery here. There's no mystery here. They ain't taking a running back, in free agency. They're not taking an offensive lineman and spending a lot of money. Otherwise, you'd bring Bredesen back and go on with what you had, which is an A-plus line. So, Lee, there's no mystery. To me, the priorities are simple. Pass rush, corner, and inside linebacker. You might like inside linebacker ahead of corner. I like corner ahead of inside linebacker.
Depends about Levante.
But everything's about the edge rush. Everything, Lee.
It should be.
Because here's the other reason. If you fill the edge rush, and I'm not talking about Myles Garrett necessarily or Hendrickson, but I'm talking about somebody that might be able to emerge a la Shaq Barrett that is under the radar and you don't have to spend a lot of money or draft capital.
That can't be a focus, though.
Lee, if you can fix that, then you don't need Charles Woodson as your freaking cornerback. You need somebody that's competent. But if you don't have a pass rush, Charles Woodson is going to be exposed and Champ Bailey's going to be exposed.
Yeah.
It all starts with the rush. And, Steve, they finished with 46 sacks, as I predicted they would, between 45 and 50 sacks.
Top seven.
Bowles does it every yearly. However, and you always say sacks are drive killers, which they're supposed to be.
Yeah, you know,
third and 16, you're not supposed to make that. But I'm all about consistent pressure also. And they didn't have it, Lee. So your priorities going into free agency, they're written on the wall. You don't have to decide. This is no great mystery here.
If they do get a Shaq Barrett-type project, now, of course, Shaq Barrett worked out wonderfully, but that's not getting the job done. That's great if you can get a guy that gets like 4 sacks a year, all of a sudden he gets 12 or 15.
You want to hit a home run, Lee? That's what you want?
They got to, because they've got a short Super Bowl window. If Godwin comes back, he's not here forever. Mike Evans isn't here forever. Baker Mayfield, if he returns in 2 years, it's going to be a hell of a lot more expensive than he is now. All these great rookies they have, 2 more years of cheap pay, all of a sudden they're going to need to get paid. So they have a short Super Bowl window, and everybody says, well, the Bucs can do what the Eagles did. Well, yeah, they can if they have an edge rush. So now is the time. Now,
who do you want? You want Crosby, Hendrickson, Garrett?
I want anybody who can get 10 to 12 sacks. Anybody. I don't care who he is. But going for a guy that gets 4 sacks and, well, we hope. Stop. As soon as the word hope is out of your mouth, you need to have your mouth sewn shut.
Well, you got hope with Rachel Watson. You used that word.
Lee already met her. He met her.
What have I done with her?
She's a 3-sack person. I understand. Steve, do you want to spend all that capital and try to get Max Crosby? Is that what you want?
Sage, this comes down to one thing.
And I don't agree with Lee that it's a short window necessarily.
I don't believe in short windows at all, unless you have a quarterback that's basically ready to retire.
The Rams might have a short window. Stafford's 37.
Teams reload all the time. If you draft well, you've got holes filled and studs. And I don't buy it. But I will say the Bucs window is wide open. Now is a clear year with the players Lee mentioned, what they can do. They got a little money.
The offense is outstanding.
And, you know, the window's wide open. So the question is, the most important thing is, do you feel, not you, do the Bucs feel that they need an edge rusher to win a Super Bowl? I hope they feel they do. But they may not. But I hope they do.
Don't
believe
they
usually
that. Listen to DeKemper?
Because
no.
I don't know. I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl without a ferocious edge rush. I don't know. I don't have a lot of evidence for that. We saw Josh Sweat go wild. Now he's an interesting guy. 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl.
His timing's beautiful.
His timing's perfect. He just played on a 1-year deal, and he's
young.
I think he's going to be 28 this season, right in his prime.
Yep.
But he was an 8-sack guy last year, and he's not a huge double-digit sack guy, but he's a good player. He didn't start right away because he was rotating in a lot of depth, almost like Shaq Barrett. He didn't play originally a lot. So, I mean, there's a guy who's you're going to have to overpay for because he just put his name in lights. But he's
you
a
don't
good,
have to trade for
but
him.
But he's a good
Bingo.
Player.
You don't have to trade for Bingo. Him. My thoughts are there's 14 teams that are going to be after Josh Sweat. That doesn't mean the Bucks can't get him, Lee. But there's a lot of suitors for these guys because, in the words of DeKemper, if you ain't got a pass rush or edge rush, you're stuck in the mud.
Yeah, they haven't.
You don't think Atlanta wants Josh Sweat? Lee, come on. I mean,
well, I agree with you. You know, what's the difference between the Eagles and the Bucks?
Talent.
That's pretty good, Steve.
That's pretty vague.
Talent up and down the roster.
They got more talent.
The Bucks have the defensive line like the Eagles, except for one position. Do I need to say?
No, that's not truly.
I think they do.
The Eagles got five or six guys. The Bucks got two.
I like Kansas and I like Villa. I think they're that damn good.
That's two.
That's good enough for me because they're that good. I really believe they're that good. You get an edge rush on this team, look out. Those guys explode. Maybe Yaya Diaby explodes. You're cooking with gas. You are absolutely cooking with gas.
But there's other holes on the defense.
Oh, there certainly are. I'm not suggesting that. But if you don't fill this hole, I don't give a damn what you do. They're not going to be in the Super Bowl next year. You must. There's no debate. Anybody with the Bucks wants to debate this, you bring me into one buck and you sit me down, you show me film, you show me where I'm wrong. End of subject. No edge rush, no Super Bowl.
I don't think Garrett Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, Max Crosby, Steve, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's realistic. It's going to cost you a ton, Lee, a ton. And
if you want to play, you got to pay.
Before we keep going, are you okay with Sweat? Is that enough for you?
Get someone in here.
But he's not. He's never been a double-digit sacker.
Three, four years ago.
I'm okay with Sweat. There's a list of guys I put up this morning or yesterday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Right now, that are linked, whether by trade rumors, whether by free agency, and they may be signed between now and the 12th of March when the dinner bell rings. So right now there's seven guys, potentially, that are available. That's not counting. I didn't even include Max Crosby, who's making some noise that he wants to get out. I'm not including fill-in-the-blank guys that might be on 1 or 2 year contracts and our teams want to unload them. There's options out there. Inactivity is not an option.
Sage, I listened to Max Crosby during Super Bowl week. His interviews kind of got overshadowed by the whole Myles Garrett thing. But he was asked directly about Myles Garrett and can you relate to what he's saying? And he essentially said, you know what? Yeah, I can. And I have a lot of those feelings. I've talked a lot to Tom Brady and
Brady and Spytek want to get rid of Max Crosby?
And the brain trust there. Well, the point is that I think it might have been Dan Patrick to really try to pin Max Crosby down. And Crosby was like, well, I'm moving closer toward believing in what the Raiders are doing and feeling good about staying. I mean, that wasn't like I'm staying. It was I'm moving closer toward that. But I think that's potentially available. But I don't see Jason Light. If he can get a Josh Sweat, and I'm just trying to get in Light's mind.
It's not Light's MO to make that big trade.
No, he can get somebody he thinks is very good for no draft picks versus somebody who's excellent for a bunch of draft picks, I think Light's much more inclined to go
value.
Go with not giving up draft picks.
What's the second best move Light ever made? There's no question what the first one is.
Drafting, free agency, trades?
Transaction.
Well, the best move was probably bringing in Brady, right?
Of course.
Yeah. The second best, you got to go pretty far to beat Shaq Barrett. You do.
I would say JPP for a third-round pick. You brought in an established pass rusher for a measly third-round pick.
19 and a half sacks, Shaq Barrett.
No one expected that. I'm not saying Shaq Barrett was bad. I'm saying trading a third-round pick for an established edge rusher, that was a steal. That was an absolute freaking steal. Shaq Barrett was an accident.
You're not getting Hendrickson for a third-round pick, and you know that.
Here's what I want the Bucks to do. I don't give a damn if it costs half the Glazers' vault. I'm done with this. Get an edge rusher, period. Done.
Well, let me propose a trade, Steve. I want to see if DeKemper would do it. Two number ones and Antoine Winfield for Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I think about it. Because here's what I think about it. As much as I love Antoine Winfield, what happened last year?
He got hurt.
That's what Bowles said. But guys get hurt all the time. He was a non-factor.
That's a lot of capital, Lee.
I know, but here
I think Garrett's great.
I'll quote Gerald McCoy. First round draft picks are 50-50. Myles Garrett's 100%.
He is.
But I doesn't have to be Myles. Fill in the blank. I don't care.
Sage, how much do you think Jason Light is going to listen? I don't have a better word than that, but listen to Todd Bowles in this. Because obviously they're talking about this kind of stuff. I don't believe for a second that Todd Bowles would say, you know, go get the elite guy, give up multiple picks this year when he needs bodies and he looks at the team differently. because he sat there last year at the combine and said to us, well, if I get a 15 sack guy, he's got to get me more than the 47 sacks. I don't know.
Well, I think Bowles is looking short term. And Bowles probably says, I want Myles Garrett. And maybe that would make Bowles' job more secure if he got Myles Garrett instead of picks.
Think of that.
Now, Lee, I understand what you're saying, but Lee, there's a good chance Garrett, Hendrickson, and Crosby are not available. They're just not available, Lee.
I agree.
So that shrinks the pool.
I disagree. I think two out of the three will be available.
Like I said,
what is Cleveland holding on to Myles Garrett for? What possible reason?
Arrogance.
The guy wants to leave, and they have no chance of winning a Super Bowl.
Like I say, I threw out seven guys yesterday in a story. There's probably more. I don't care the name. I care about the production.
Well, you said you don't want potential guys, so you're saying these are guys that have already...
Lee made it clear a few minutes ago. He wants a good player. You know, do whatever you got to do. And he said he was good with Josh Sweat, who's not Myles Garrett.
No, I'm also good with Josh Sweat.
You brought up something that's very interesting. Bowles might be looking short-term.
I think so.
That raises a couple of questions. I mean, he has talked retirement, but no timetable. Technically, last year, just a few months ago, Michael Lombardi put that nonsense out. That Ira, thank you for calling up Bowles, and Steve got hold of him too. You know, he just flatly turned it as nonsense.
Nonsense.
Is he looking to hit 70 and still coach? Because I know he said the Bucks are his last stop. He said that on the record a couple of times. And I mean, is he looking at 70? Maybe? It's not uncommon for a coach to, you know, 70
Steve,
years
if
old.
I'm Todd Bowles, I'm looking at Myles Garrett, and I'm looking at him differently than light, because GMs and coaches look at things differently, Lee. One guy's more long-term than the other. That's natural. There's a lot of coaches that, what I'm about to say about Bowles, they would say the same mindset. Get me Myles Garrett, and like Lee says, number one picks are 50-50. I want Myles Garrett because it can change my whole defensive scheme. I'll be more aggressive. And then we'll fill in a couple of blanks.
Throw out a designated third down pass rusher. Von Miller.
He looks like he's at the end of the line.
I think so, too. Yeah. But he's better than Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
Yeah, he looks like he's done. Now, Steve, I'm going to ask you a question. And I think you have to dwell on this.
I have to?
I think you disagree with me. In talking about potential deals, Lee, potential deals, I think that 19th pick that puts the Bucks behind the eight ball.
In a sense.
It doesn't mean they can't sweeten it, Steve, but I think they got to sweeten it more than a team that picks seventh and also is desperate for an edge rusher. For the other team, you want the seventh pick. You don't want the 19th pick.
It depends who you're trading for. Myles Garrett said he wants to go to a winner.
Garrett says. I'm looking at the Browns. I want the best compensation I can get.
But the team is not going to – no team is going to trade for a player who doesn't want to be there.
Like, there's all kinds of options.
So, I mean, if I'm the Panthers and I want to trade for Myles Garrett, he's not going to go there.
Maybe Garrett thinks he can put the Falcons over the top with Penix.
But they don't have the seventh pick. They got better than the seventh pick, Ira.
Who, the Falcons?
Yeah.
But it's better than the Bucks.
Better than the Bucks, sure. Absolutely.
They're more desperate than the Bucks are, Lee.
JPP was had for a third-round pick. It was an absolute steal by Light. So,
but, Lee, he wasn't Myles Garrett
at the time.
He was good.
I'm not good.
Well, I'm just trying to be fair here. He was had for a third-round pick because he had blown his hand off, and he never recovered his production after he blew his hand off, but he did it with the Bucks. So that's what made it a steal. But he wasn't that guy when they traded
him. Well, no, he wasn't Myles Garrett, but I don't think you need Myles. You just need, again.
Sure.
Pick a name. I don't give a damn if it's Muriel Berkowitz. Just as long as they get production.
Well,
Sweat's
clearly the best free agent in that
regard.
Well,
yeah, probably. Clearly. You know who else is a free agent? But you're talking about Dunn. I think this guy's Dunn. And he probably fit Bulls' defense better than Garrett or Trey Hendrickson. Khalil Mack. But I think he's about Dunn, too.
The age bothers me. The age
33,
bothers me.
Isn't he?
Sage, you mentioned Todd Bowles and thinking short-term. Frankly,
like most coaches.
Well, no. Let me get to this here. Coaches have a balance, right? And the way they think is usually dictated by those above them, right?
Yeah.
If you're getting drilled by ownership, Todd, think long term. You know, blah blah blah. We're looking at this year as a 2027. That's how we're devising the team, et cetera, et cetera. But we believe, and I'm confident the Bucks believe this is win now. And if Bowles doesn't get a contract extension from the Glazers, they're essentially saying, Todd, it's all in now for you. Because otherwise, after a 10-7 season, going into, you know, next to last year here, most coaches would get at least a one-year bump to show that confidence. It also gives confidence to free agents. If Myles Garrett is, let's say the Browns give him permission to talk to teams about a trade, wouldn't his first question be, how long is Todd Bowles going to be here? I don't want to deal with another coaching change. I'm coming from Cleveland.
I don't know about that, Steve.
Why?
I think
why wouldn't he?
First of
if he can pick from 10 teams, don't you think he'd want to go to the team that has a long-term head coach situation?
Garrett's not making this decision. It's the Browns. He'll go where they send him.
What's he going to say?
I'm not going to play football? What's Myles Garrett going to say if he ends up with Dave Canales? I'm not going to play football? That's not going to happen.
He could pull a Hassan Reddick.
That's true.
It's got to be a team who thinks Garrett can be the difference maker where they can make a competitive run. I think the Bucs qualify in that. I do. Bowles still has he still has things to prove to the Glazers. It's obvious.
You think so?
Because of the contract extension, the lack of thereof.
Okay.
And this is a huge year for Bowles, not winning a playoff game. I just think it's going to be difficult. Lee, because of the suitors, everybody wants that pass rusher. Everybody wants him. How are the Bucs going to offer the most compensation to the Browns or the Bengals or the Raiders? It's going to come down to compensation, isn't it, Steve?
I read the subject you're talking about. It kind of dovetails into something I didn't know we were going to bring up. Diana Russini.
Yes.
She's pretty well plugged in.
What's her little name of her thing, things I'm hearing or something?
Oh, you mean leather wearing?
No. She's got a little title of things I'm hearing or something like that. Yeah, so she's got some contacts. Yeah.
She claimed on her podcast, the Bucs this past year were two losses away from hiring Cohn as head coach.
I don't think that's a revelation.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that's shocking. If they're 8-9, don't make the playoffs, Bowles is in a lot of trouble. We said it on the podcast.
Sure.
We don't need Diana Russini to back us
up. I thought maybe she could reinforce what you might have heard.
I think that could have happened.
No comment about her leather?
No comment.
I'm not sitting here advocating for a Bowles contract extension. All I'm saying, Ira, is that 9 out of 10 coaches around the league, if you win 3 division titles in a row, you're going to be up for a contract extension. The team's going to extend that to you. That's how it works.
And you win more games each year. You win a game more.
Whatever. I don't care about the games. You win 3 in a row. They're going to say, because it talks to the culture, right? You want to extend guys that are doing what you think is the right thing. So we may hear that they executed the 5th-year option on his contract or something.
Boy, if Myles Garrett moves, Lee, that is a seismic. That's a seismic trade. That's a big time.
As far
trade.
As the NFL in general,
yeah, in the NFL in general, that's a big.
Yeah,
time
especially
trade.
Given how well he's playing and all that. So, Ira, look, considering the win now chatter we've been talking about, I threw out the name Eric Kendricks on JoeBucksFan.com. Now, this guy, some people consider.
Give me his resume, Steve.
Give me his
resume.
Drafted by the Vikings, you voted for him for All Pro probably a handful of years ago, and excellent career. He goes to the Cowboys to reunite with Mike Zimmer this past season. And has a bounce back year after looking like he was done. He had a tremendous season. Just to give you a couple of numbers, and Cowboys fans are screaming for him to come back. He only made $3 million, which that's nothing for
age
for a former All Pro. He turns 33 this month. He just had 2 picks, 3 forced fumbles, 3 sacks, 138 tackles in 15 games. He's a free agent. He's not going to command huge money. Bobby Wagner's been running around playing for $6-7 million.
I don't know if I want to give him a 3-year deal.
No, if you could get him, maybe that encourages a guy like Lavonte David, who I'm sure would be very excited to play around a long term talent like that.
He's certainly an upgrade on what they got on the roster. An upgrade, and he's not going to make $12 million.
No, maybe he's in that situation most likely where he's only playing 1 year at a time. Maybe. He would command $6 million or something.
Only a competitive team would be interested in him.
Exactly. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
Well, every time I bring up Servassier Dennis, I get the eyebrow raised from Lee, and Lee's not wrong. Such a small sample size for Servassier Dennis because he's never on the field, Lee.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I like what I see.
Yeah, and that's why.
And I'm not convinced. I'm not absolutely convinced that David's not going to retire. I'm not absolutely convinced.
Yeah, I have no idea. I literally have no idea. And that's why I've run out of rope with Jamel Dean. I like the guy. I think he's a good player, but he just can't stay on the field. And I always remember what Phil Simms said. The older you get, he goes, you don't get quicker and you don't get healthier.
You might get smarter.
Yeah, you might get smarter. But and Dean's biggest problem isn't lack of intelligence. It's inability to stay on the field.
You think David owes it to the Bucs to make his decision before free agency?
He will.
That's the class move. Didn't he do that last year?
He did. I guess probably the more important question, Ira, is do you think that the Buccaneers, if we accept that they have this all-in mindset for this year, are they really going to take that to the extreme? And my point is that they could easily add two more years to Baker Mayfield's contract. Easily. You know, assuming he would agree to it. Right now, create all kinds of cap room for themselves. They could extend Mike Evans, create cap room. They could sign Chris Godwin to multiple years.
So here comes Greenberg again, manipulating that salary cap.
They could do all kinds of things for cap room. They still have the big contracts of Wirfs and Winfield that they can play with.
They've proven how they can manipulate, right? Lee, so there's no questions about
it. My point is, do you think they actually do something bold where they're like, sit around and say, look, let's make $30 million in cap room and go play ball. $30 million more and go.
I don't think the money for Garrett or Hendrickson or even Crosby, I don't think that's going to stop the Bucs from pursuing him.
I'm talking beyond that. They could probably afford Myles Garrett. Now, you think they go even deeper? Say, look, we're nailing three big free agents, three solid free agents this year, and that's what we're doing. So we're going to make that money. You think they go over the top?
Well, a lot of it depends on what kind of draft capital they have to give up, Lee, because if you're giving up your first pick and maybe more, that prohibits you maybe from getting that corner that you want. Now you're picking 50th instead of 19th, and now you're getting the seventh best cornerback. You want to count on that guy? So it depends. If you don't make a giant splash and instead you sign Josh Sweat instead of trading for Garrett, now you got all your draft picks. So you can fill in different spots. So I think free agency's got a huge impact on what the Bucs are thinking.
I'm going to go back to Kendricks in a second here. Generally, if you're going to pick up a big contract from a player, let's say you make a trade, the compensation's less, is it not? Like sometimes you can get a guy for, okay, hypothetically, Myles Garrett. Browns may say two first-round picks. Like, well, we'll take his contract off your hands, but it's got to be less than two first-round picks, meaning the higher the salary, the less the compensation that you're sending to the other team. Is that not accurate?
Maybe it depends on how many suitors there are, Lee, for the guy.
Yeah, I don't think it would apply to Garrett, though, but sometimes, yeah.
Well, I'm getting back to your point where there's moves that can be made that Mike Greenberg could do that would open up money for a Myles Garrett. So they could absorb that contract.
A lot of times some decent players, not a Myles Garrett type, but decent players become available just because the team wants to dump their salary.
I understand, but you can't build a team hoping that they drop this guy in August or something like that, June.
Yeah, the sidebar on Kendricks, who is a comrade in arms of Mike Zimmer? Bowles.
Comrade? Bowles. I don't know how close they are.
Yeah, Bowles worked with him. When he was defensive coordinator in Dallas, Bowles was on staff.
So he'd get the info on Kendricks. He'd get the info.
Not just that, but maybe Kendricks, like, hey, I want to play in a similar defense. Bowles has a similar defense.
I don't know. Zimmer pisses off a lot of people, so I never know who.
Kendricks had any success as a blitzer, Steve?
I said he had three sacks, so you know, that's a solid amount at least. It shows that he has blitzed.
Since we're talking pie in the sky here, we keep talking about Myles Garrett. Rumored, although no one from the Cowboys has come out and said this, rumored, when I say rumored, Ian Rappaport threw this out on Super Bowl Sunday. The Cowboys in Rappaport's report have had internal conversations about trading Micah Parsons. Now, that would fit Bowles' defense more than Myles Garrett.
What a chess piece, Steve. What a chess piece. His versatility is incredible. I can see Bowles drooling right now. The guy can do everything. It's hard to imagine the Cowboys parting with him, but
it doesn't make sense considering the Cowboys think they're right there to win.
Do they?
With Prescott back.
With Prescott back, sure.
The infamous words of Jerry Jones last summer, we're all in.
But they were 7-10. They were 7-10.
No, I understand. Obviously, we're here to dream. You know, that's the deal. Warren Sapp running around Radio Row last week saying that he wouldn't talk about Micah Parsons. Doesn't like him.
He ran off a couple radio shows because they brought up Micah
Parsons. What would it take to get to nail down Josh Sweat ahead of 11 other teams that want Josh Sweat?
I don't know. It all depends on the demand. I mean, for all we know, he could be a $20 million a year pass rusher. I don't think he's going to command that. Maybe more of a, you might have to spend 3 years, $50 million
Lee, could I argue that part of Josh Sweat's success, part of it, is playing with some other great players up front that Philly has?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, you would say, well, he'll be playing with Vea and Kansi. So you could also use that. I don't think Jalen Carter's a monster, Steve. He's a money
taker. Yes, he is.
He takes up a double team every snap.
No, no. Look, that could legitimately scare teams. Man, we don't have the guys to play off that Philly does. But on that note, I sort of have a loaded question for you, Sage. I'm going to give Lee a little heads up because he might lose it when I ask this question. But
no, Lee's calm, cool, and collected. Now, come on.
Well, I should say he may lose it when he hears your answer.
All right, go ahead.
He hears your answer. Sage 24/7, Florida's Elite Restoration is there for everybody in Tampa, the greater Tampa Bay area, across the state to Orlando and beyond. They've got the trucks, they've got the team, and their ownership team with Josh Martin at the helm. They've got 25-plus years of experience in the insurance industry.
I don't think you could stress that enough.
No, Steve. You can't. You can't.
That's what makes them unique. It's a big, big factor.
Makes them extremely special when they've worked there, you know, dealing with claims. They know that the insurance company's job is to give you as little money as possible.
Deny.
It's like the Bucks defense. Soft, soft, soft. And they know the corruption in the industry, and now they're fighting for you when you've got a flood, fire, mold, storm damage. Ira is the water damage whisperer.
They know how the insurance companies work, Steve. That's a huge
advantage. And that's who you need. And you also need a company with top technology. So when you call them 24/7, they come out with that technology to give you a free evaluation. And if you mention Ira Kaufman, the Sage himself.
Or Joe Bucks fan,
you'll get $500 back if you sign up because you need their services. And that's money you could use for your deductible. FloridasElitereRestoration.com. FloridasElitereRestoration.com. They do everything now, Ira. So they'll actually, you know, if you have that disaster in your bathroom and you need to replace the tub and beyond, they'll do it. So they're a one-stop shop.
Now, let me warn you right now. Don't piss off the Kemper. He's in a good place right now. Don't piss him off.
He moved his chair back away. He's nervous.
He's ready.
All right. So here's my question is, Ira, we know how Todd Bowles thinks and feels. We know how much the Bucks have stressed an internal pass rush with the drafting of Vea, the drafting of Kancey with first-round picks. Now, let me say this. Kancey's injury-prone. We know it. We've seen it. We've dealt with it. It's hurt the Bucks. He's a great player. Vea is also a little injury-prone. He plays through stuff, but he turns 30, and he's injury-prone. Now, Greg Gaines.
I know what's coming, Steve.
He got a little banged up this year, and he's a veteran. They like him, but I can't say he's a great player. Will Golston turns 34. He was banged up this year. Those two guys, I don't know if they're going to bring them back, but they've always emphasized having that third rotational guy that they pay. This organization still has a feeling that they're not happy about that they lost Nunez Roaches to the Giants when they didn't move on him a couple of years ago. So my question to you is, Ira, is it possible that Jason Light and Todd Bowles freak out Lee and say, you know what, let's invest in a $6 million, $7 million in a really top-flight rotational inside defensive tackle because we need that juice, we need that jolt. We got a couple of injury-prone guys, and we're going to lose Gaines and Golston.
I don't see that happening. Lee, I think it's much more likely, and I think this draft is very heavy on interior defensive linemen, very heavy. So, Lee, you take one in the third round. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Steve's right. Kancey's been hurt each of the last 2 years. It's fairly significant injuries. Vea's had some injuries over the years, some, and he's not getting any younger. But, Lee, I don't think it affects their priority. Their priority is edge rusher, and nothing's going to get in the way of that, nor should it.
Well, given the recent history, I have my doubts.
Steve's talking about a rotational player, Lee, a rotational player.
It wouldn't shock me if the Bucks do that, but a little bit ago you were kind of poo-pooing, you know, Vea and Kancey, and to a lesser, you didn't mention Gaines, but I'm sure, you know, Gaines is not high up on your list. But everybody talks about, oh, you can't stop the tush push of Philly. Yeah, you can. The Bucks demonstrated it. The Bucks have demonstrated it. So, you know, that...
We're not saying they don't need another defensive tackle, Lee. We're not saying that. I'm not making it a priority, Steve. I'm not making it a priority. I'm not going out and getting the best free agent defensive tackle.
I know
tackle.
You're not, but do you think the Bucks might think that?
Oh,
way?
I could see them saying that, yeah.
I think the Glazers don't know that this team needs an edge rush. The Glazers are no dummies.
Of course they know. Of course they know.
You don't think Ed's telling Joel, well, whatever it takes, we got to get an edge rush.
How much are they willing? We don't know how much they're willing to meddle. We don't. It's a mystery.
On this topic, they'll meddle. Bell Metal. Finish.
That's a strong statement, Ira. You want me to write that up on Joe Bucks fan?
I don't care what you write. Steve, Lee, they're not looking for a quarterback. That puts the Bucks ahead of 10 teams right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
What are the Giants doing? The Jets, you got to get a quarterback. The Raiders, they got nobody. They got nobody. They should have a step up on some of these other teams. It's clear what their priority is. Find that edge rusher. I'm with Lee DeKemper on this one. Find him. Get him.
At least somebody understands.
And I'm okay with Josh Sweat. I'm more than okay with it.
All right. Well, look, I got one final one
but,
for
but there's another 12 teams that are looking at Josh Sweat, Lee. Not just you.
You would think.
The Falcons got to be out of their minds. Raheem Blank. Blank's in his 80s. Blank says, I got to have somebody. Can you give me somebody?
I've got a good one now. I got a good hypothetical for you.
I don't care if he calls Sweat Irv for 10 years like he did me.
All right, Sage, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there for a vehicle. Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, Curry.
Don't hurry. Drive Curry.
Don't worry. Drive Curry. I'll get it by 2027.
Don't worry. Drive Curry.
Oh, there you go.
He said, don't hurry, drive Curry.
Oh, don't hurry.
I said.
All right, so I got two more. But Lee, you got one for anything for Ira, or are you ready to?
I just had it on the tip of my tongue, and now I can't remember what the
hell
it was. All
right, you'll think of it. You'll think of it.
All right, so how about this, Ira? No, and I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking these final two questions are about the Bucks' mindset, not mine, yours, should, shouldn't. Do you think if the Browns came back to the Bucks and said, we'll take your two ones and Yaya Diaby. You think the Bucks would make that trade?
Well, I threw out two ones in Antoine Winfield, and Lee's ready to give it the go-ahead, so I'm sure he'll give it the go-ahead.
Not Lee. I'm talking about Jason Light, Todd Bowles, how they feel about the team.
I think that's too much. I think that's too much. I don't think they've given up on Diaby, nor should they.
No.
Nor should they. I'm going to say no to that from a Buck perspective. I don't think Light would do it. Lee, what do you think?
I agree with you, and this brings up my statement here. You fill in the name. I don't care. I don't care who. Bring somebody in. And whatever the name, whatever player that is, I do not give two spits if he can cover Chris Olave. Nor should they be concerned if a guy can cover Chris Olave.
Or running back in the flat.
I don't give a
damn.
I want this guy to do one thing and one thing only. If that means he's a designated third
down player. Put the guy on his ass?
Put the quarterback on his ass. That's it. Period.
I think that's too much.
You think the Bucks would make that deal?
No. Again, I don't think they're ready to give up on Diaby.
That's not Light's MO.
The reason I brought this up about Chris Olave and Drake London, you go nuts when I say this. But I think Bowles et al. Screw with these guys' heads. That you got to cover. They weren't drafted. They're not in the NFL because they're cornerbacks.
They're not the only team that does that, Lee. Other teams do it.
Do they emphasize it as much as
Bowles?
Maybe
not to the extent that Bowles
does
it.
And what are these other teams? I'm curious. Because these other teams have an edge rusher? I'm curious. It drives me out of my mind. It's like Michael Lombardi when he says, the most important trait a running back can have is pass pro. Really?
Oh, that's nuts.
I know. Otherwise, you'd have a guard back there.
You know, Koufax couldn't hit. Yeah, you're gonna knock him. Steve, that's a heavy burden. Two ones in Diaby.
All right, would you think Jason Light would trade a one, a two this year, not next year. A one and a two this year and Diaby.
Under pressure from the Glazers, he might have to. I think the Glazers are a factor.
All right, I'm just trying to get an idea.
You're talking about Myles Garrett, the Glazers are a factor. I'm sorry.
From Light's perspective, I think you'd almost have to put a gun in his head to trade Diaby now.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, last question, Sage.
You love throwing these packages together, Stevie.
Don't talk about my package. So,
Jason, how about a one in the rights to Joe Bucks fan going forward?
The money they throw around, yeah.
Hey, I've made it clear to the organization if they want to shut down the site for a year, Lee and I have a price.
There you go.
If they don't like it, we have a price.
All right, what's your next one, Stevie?
So, coming up, we'll see Todd Bowles, Jason Light talking at the NFL Scouting Combine. And do you think they admit, or I'll phrase it this way, do you think they put it out there that Jamel Dean is somebody that either may not be coming back, they have to think about, maybe on the trade block? Remember, it was put out by Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, put it out that the Bucks were trying to trade either Carlton Davis or Jamel Dean. Do you think they become open about their interest in possibly moving on from Dean, or do you think they just go all in and say, oh, he's our guy, man, he's a good player?
I think there's going to be a lot of rumors about Jamel Dean, and I'm not sure the Bucks are going to deny him, because to me, he can move on, and I'll sleep very well about it, Lee. I ain't going to lose a wink of sleep. I'd like to get a younger guy in there who's more aggressive. I'm not saying Dean doesn't have some traits, Lee. He's got good size, but too many negatives for me. You know, I've said it before, Lee. I'm no Dean fan, and I don't think everybody in the organization is a Dean fan.
I agree with you. But certain people are, and those people, shall we say, hold weight.
I could see Dean leaving, and I don't think the Bucks would mind getting it out there that he's available.
When people talk about cap casualties, Dean's name always comes up, partially because he has an out clause this offseason where it won't hurt the Bucks much. What, Steve, like $6 million cap hit?
Close to that, yeah.
Is he going to learn ball skills at this stage of his career, Steve? He did get one pick. Oh, let's not go crazy. Let's not throw a celebration here, Lee.
What about
Whitehead?
He
had one pick.
Your thoughts on Whitehead?
I'm down on Whitehead. I mean, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I thought it was a good move getting him back.
Yeah, I did too.
But I don't know. He doesn't look like the same player.
Thank you.
The Jets let him go when he wasn't 31 years old. That's a sign. Salah let him go. I might rather see Izian out there.
Yeah, it's not crazy. You talk to people at One Buck. Is it fair to say, and I've made this point several times, but I want your feedback, knowing that the people who you talk to. Is it fair to say the Bucks are having a little buyer's remorse?
I think so. Now, look, they didn't, he's not making $15 million, Lee, but they needed him to step up with Winfield out, and he didn't step up his game. And I think they feel they got some options there. The draft, I think they're definitely going to draft the DB in the first three rounds.
I do.
Not necessarily
cornerback?
Yeah, cornerback.
Okay.
Cornerback. I don't think Dean will be back, and as far as Whitehead's concerned, he's on a short leash, Steve. He's got to step up.
All right, I'm putting you on a short leash. We are out of here. Everybody can listen to the podcast.
Is that my leash? Is that my invitation to Cosmo? That's a bad invitation.
What kind of leash do you have, Cosmo?
I quit.